A number of the issues that have come from or have been exacerbated by, actually, we've had many of these issues long before the pandemic. As we've seen in the NIDS CRAM survey, particularly the first and second, I think, put a spotlight on this, is, of course, the disproportionate way in which the pandemic has really impacted women, both from an employment perspective to the notion of gender-based violence being heightened. We saw this during lockdown. Cases that were brought to the police had far higher cases of gender-based violence insofar as people were stuck in their homes. They were often, I suppose, a lack of pressure relief in those households, the frustration of poverty exacerbating what was already a scourge in those families and households. And this is not something that's, of course, new to us with respect to or as relates to the pandemic. But somehow this year, it actually was originally drafted in 2019. President Ramaphosa put forward the Gender-Based Violence and Femicide National Strategic Plan. It was produced back then. It was supposed to respond to gender-based violence and femicide across the country. It's a huge crisis that often gets a great deal of lip service, but not much attention. So this morning, we'll be speaking to the CEO of the Gender-Based Violence Response Fund, Lindi Dlamini, to help us understand what has come of this initiative. Lindi, welcome to Breakfast with Refilo. How are you this morning?
I'm very well, thank you. Good morning, Refilo. Thanks for having me, and good morning to your listeners.
Correct. Thank you so much. So this fund, it seems, is actually led by the private sector, but is it in direct conjunction with the president's response through the interim steering committee?
It absolutely is. This fund has been set up as part of the enabling mechanism to make the things that have been stated in the National Strategic Plan come to life. So we're a private sector-led fund. Private has contributed to it, but it was the president who on the 4th of February announced that the fund had come into place. So it is part of the National Strategic Plan. We understand that to give effect to some of the things that have been said in the National Strategic Plan, you actually need funding. You need to be able to galvanize funding in order to fund those initiatives so that we can do the work of eliminating the scourge.
And how big is this fund in rand terms?
At launch, it was 128 million. So that was in February. It's since grown somewhat. We have a target of over a billion rand. But right now, we're already in a position to start funding programs that are put forward. Hence, the RFP or the call for proposals from community-based organizations, NPOs, and the like that are operating at ground level and fighting the scourge of gender-based violence and femicide.
And this is quite an encouraging part of the mandate of the fund, right? It's not trying to reinvent the wheel. It operates within the knowledge that there are existing facilities that have been supporting women, families, and the like,
yes,
who either are on the run from or trying to survive gender-based violence. Amongst those, are you targeting any programs, for example, that specifically focus on, you know, helping the aggressors, the perpetrators, men?
Yes, absolutely. The purpose of the fund is really what we are funding now, rebuilding social cohesion. A part of that is to drive behavioral change and social norms, is to deal with toxic masculinity. So yes, we are open to receiving proposals on programs aimed at doing that. Because at the end of the day, the ultimate goal is to eradicate gender-based violence and femicide. And we know that the root causes can run very deep. There's a need for educational programs. We understand that there's a need for mental health programs for survivors of gender-based violence, but also perpetrators. If we're to get to the root cause and eliminate it, we've got to be targeting society as a whole through these interventions.
Okay, so we have the RFP is available on the Tikululu Social Investments website, but let's just talk a little bit about, if I'm listening and I happen to do this kind of work, what are the high-level requirements that you need from me, Lindi?
You need to be based in serving a local community, and that could be in a rural area, it could be in an urban area, it could be in a township, it doesn't matter where it is. You need to be able to demonstrate a track record of 12 months implementing activities that are related to gender-based violence. You need to be registered as a voluntary society or a nonprofit company or a nonprofit trust. And then you need to demonstrate the fact that you have been doing work on the ground in some manner, shape or form, and you've got to be able to provide some documentation. We do have support in the process for obtaining tax approvals, for instance, and we do help with that because we don't want those things to be an impediment, but at least your basic documentation. And then if you are a CBO, you've got to, of course, complete the application. You need the constitution of your organization. You need a triple BEE certificate or an affidavit if you haven't gone through a certification process. So we cater for the full-on larger, more established and the less established ones. You've got to provide 6 months bank statements and proof of address, of course, because this is funding. We need to know where you are and where we can find you.
Indeed. I mean, don't worry. South Africans are very well versed in proof of address with that one.
Living with that for a while.
I'm telling you. Okay, so two last things for me. LGBTQIA persons are included in your concept of the rights that are being protected, particularly as gender-based violence is concerned. So those organizations can also apply. Is that right?
Absolutely. That is absolutely correct. And here we're really saying marginalized people in our society have as much a right to constitutional freedom as everybody else. People should not be living in fear. So organizations that are protecting the rights of the LGBTQI plus community, please, they're welcome to come forward.
And then the second one, actually, I have two more still. Sorry, the second one is the ticket
That's
size
right.
of your investors. Of your investments.
I beg your pardon?
Your ticket size, is there a minimum amount? Like, is there possible that I could be too small for this fund?
No, you can't be too small. And in fact, sometimes organizations are too small because they've had a sustained lack of funding. Mm. So as long as you are doing something on the ground, you're in need of assistance, the purpose of the GBVF Response Fund is really to reach those people who otherwise wouldn't be reached. You know, one of the things that we did here when the fund was being set up is that some people, some organizations, because you don't start off wanting to do this, you're responding to a need in your community, and somehow you then evolve to being a community-based organization. And they don't start off knowing the length and breadth of funding requirements and so forth, and so very often hopelessly underfunded. So you can never be too small. If you're doing something on the ground, you want help, you want to grow, you apply.
And companies that might want to help you get to a billion can just go to your website?
They absolutely can.
Okay.
And they can click on Fund Now. And that is on gbvfresponse1.org.za.
Many thanks to you, Lindi Dlamini, CEO of the GBVF Fund.